morning. Welcome to worship. Since we just celebrated 4th of July, we thought it would be appropriate to sing a patriotic song. So we're going to open with America the Beautiful, one of the most popular songs. It was written way back in 1893 with the lyrics by Kathleen Lee Bates and music by Samuel A. Ward. It's in your red book, page 888. So the words will not be on the screen for that one, so you have to look in the book.
Good morning. This all came about on Wednesday. I didn't know I was doing this until Wednesday. Pastor Jim's mother-in-law passed away this last week, so he's with the family, and he was quite distressed on Wednesday trying to find someone to do this, and he asked me, and I said, I'll do it. And it kind of fits in with the whole parable of today. Before we start, I'd like you to look at your announcements. Today, be sure that everyone wishes Pat and Jerry Becker a happy 50th anniversary, and they'll be serving you coffee. If you look at your announcements, this week is Welka, and we have a very interesting person coming to speak at Welka. Her name is Inez Stickrich, and she's a former migrant worker, and everyone is welcome. She has a wonderful presentation. That's on Wednesday at 9:30 here at church. If you see, we need coffee servers for July, and the foot clinic will be July 26th. Patty will be running that here at our church, and also the beef and corn feed is coming up July 26th. So we have a busy schedule for the month of July. Now I'd like you to turn in your bulletin to the beginning of the service. And I don't know if any of you have seen this, but Mary has started putting an introduction to the service. And it's the very first thing that we're hoping you all read, because it gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about today. And it says, God's world is like the rain that waters the earth and brings forth vegetation. It is also like the sower who scatters the seed indiscriminately. Our lives are like seeds sown in the earth. Even from what appears to be little, dormant, or dead, God promises a harvest. At the Lord's table, we are fed with the bread of life, that we may bear fruit in the world. We will now go to the opening hymn by our praise team.
This is Trading My Sorrows, and this was the anthem for last week, or last month. It really encourages us to take all of our sorrows, our shame, our sickness, and our pain, and trade them for the joy that we can receive from God. Even when we feel down, he's given us a promise. And the joy that we receive from him will be the strength that we get to live our everyday life. So please join us.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
In the presence of God, who sees our hearts and our minds, let us confess our sins. God, our strength, we confess that we are captive to the power of sins that dwell within us. We put ourselves first and others last. What we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Rescue us from death's grip in our lives. Sisters and brothers, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are justified by God's grace as a gift. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness of sin and life and salvation. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive us joy, live according to it, grow in faith and hope and love
through your Son,
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the praise choir now has their anthem.
Our anthem is called Breathe, or The Air I Breathe. It was written in 1995 by a woman called Marie Barnett. She was a worship leader with her husband in a big church in California. And she had just lost her boss to suicide and was actually very devastated by that. And these words to this song kind of came to her during that time. And basically, the idea is that God lives in us and gives us the air that we breathe. And the daily bread that we receive is through his word, the word that we read every day. And without his presence in our lives, we are lost.
This is my daily bread. Good morning. Our first reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is no condemnation for those who live in Christ. God sent Christ to accomplish what the law was unable to do, condemn sin and free us from its slavery. The Spirit now empowers proper actions and values in our lives and gives us the promise of resurrected life. The reading. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind of the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you through the body, is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Our psalm today is Psalm 65, verses 1 through 8 and 9 through 13. We will read Psalm 65 responsively. When you see the bold R, read the refrain, "Your paths overflow with plenty." You are to be raised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled.
To you, the one who raises prayers, to you all flesh shall come.
Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions.
Happy are they whom you choose, and brought to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Your paths overflow with plenty.
Awesome things will show us in your righteousness, O God, of our salvation. O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away.
You make firm the mountains by your power. You are heard above the
night. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. Your paths overflow with plenty.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rains you soften the ground, and the dust is increased.
You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing.
Your paths overflow with plenty.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel today is Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. In Matthew's gospel, both Jesus and his disciples sow the seed of God's word by proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of earth of heaven is near. Now, in a memorable parable, Jesus explains why this good news produces different results in those who hear it. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea.
Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly. But since they had no depth of soil, the sun rose, and they were scorched. And since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, and some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the words and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root and endures it, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, the person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth chokes the word and yields it nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Thank you. Well, this is interesting. Normally, when we volunteers do this, we know a couple months ahead of time that on August 26th, you're going to be speaking. Wednesday after Bible study, Pastor Jim came in, and he was quite emotional. And he was looking for someone that would do this, and probably thought, I'll just ask her. And he said to me, what can I do? Would you ever do this? And I thought, oh, Lord. But then do you remember Val? A couple weeks ago, she said, you'll hear the word. And I heard that voice. And I said, I'll do it. And I thought, it'll be okay. And he said, you know what? This parable is really easy for people to speak about. And I said, oh, yeah, for you. But look who you're talking to. And he said, no, you know what? It is you. And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? So anyway, I started reading. I started trying to figure something out. And then I had other things that happened this week. So this is what you get. I talked to my daughter yesterday about this while we were watching ball games in Big Lake. And she said, oh, Mom, you can do this. Just look out there and pretend they're fifth graders. She does this with her. She presents at her work. And she said, I just think, they're my Sunday school class. They'll believe anything I say. So this is what I'm doing. You are all fifth graders today. Actually, this parable you should be able to relate to. Because how many of you garden? How many of you like to play in the mud? Many of you do. And that's what Jesus is telling this story, to relate to the people and then turn it around to our lives. However, some of you might say, I don't like the dirt. I clean my house. I clean my car when it needs to be cleaned. I try to get rid of dirt. And then there are others. And my husband came to mind first, and as you see, he's not here today. He's a potter, and he loves to play in the dirt. And so I was telling him I was doing this, and he said, yeah, but you know what? I'm kind of like the parable, because my dirt has to be good dirt. It can't have sticks. It can't have thorns. It can't have air bubbles. Because if it does, while I'm working it up, it will not turn out to be the pot that I expect it to be. It will not be formed into a piece of pottery that anybody would even look at. And he said, and in all actuality, it might blow up in the kiln. So he could relate to this parable. As I read the parable, I got to think about who I was talking to. And right now I will change you into somebody else. What? You are now the people that came down to the beach because they knew Jesus was going to get there. They knew he was coming. Just imagine yourself in their place. You'd heard all these stories about this country preacher who was traveling all around preaching and doing miracles. You'd heard some amazing things. Some of you might have even seen some amazing things. And you decided, huh, this might be the man. But then there were some of you that thought, how could a carpenter be the long-awaited Messiah? Who could bring about the kingdom of God in their world? And then there's the rest of you that are thinking, I think this is the guy. So you're there to watch. You're anxious. You have a lot of expectation. And so they come. And there's so many of you that Jesus has to actually push a boat out, get in a boat, so that you can even see him. Got that picture? And then he says, There's a farmer in his field, and he's sowing his seeds. He throws it everywhere. Some falls on the path and is eaten by the birds. Some falls on the rocky ground and grows at first, but the hot sun kills it. Some falls in among the weeds and thorns and are choked to death. But there are some that falls on good soil and leads a rich bounty. And you know what? That's all he said. They didn't have that whole explanation of the rest of the parable. That is all he said. So what in the world are you thinking now if that's all you've heard? If you remember, in the second part of the gospel, we got the meaning of the parable. Not everyone that hears the gospel believes it. Some people hear it, and it just passes right through their ears. Some don't, they don't take it in at all. Others hear it, and they rejoice. But then some turmoil comes and trouble arises in their lives and the joy fades. That good news dies. Some of us hear it and the pleasures of the world strangle it out. We don't change. Nothing occurs in our heart. But then there are those of us that hear the good news. We have a new meaning in our life. We know that we can bring God's love to our daily lives. Interesting thing about that, though, is that seed did not change. And it wasn't the word of God that changed. It was the same word. It was the same seed. It was us. It was us that changed. It was us that took the word into our hearts. And let it grow and produce life. And just how in the world can you do that? How can you do that in your daily lives? Well, I didn't know that I was going to get to do this today. And maybe this is what Pastor Jim said. Every day we can have that seed planted in our heart to do something, to affect someone's life. We can sign up to volunteer to feed the hungry children and pack those lunches. We can sign up for helping our church. Most of you have gotten this slip. If you haven't, Marlis is going to be out there today. Plant your seed. I am planting my seed in you. What can you sign up for? Something's coming up. Beef and corn feed. Do you know what? The sheets are all blank out there. Nobody has signed up for it. That's your way that you can use God's seed in your heart. Help the church. Pray for someone that's sick. Yesterday, a day before yesterday, we stopped at Darwin's house. Darwin is leaving today. They're on the road right now to go back to the university. They had a call back. They'll be at Hope Lodge. He'll start tests tomorrow to see what the next step in his journey is. Pray for him. He needs our prayers. And now I have the whole church to be doing that. I have a friend that is in Mozambique, and I've talked to you about Dara before. Wednesday will be a big day in their lives. She's trying to adopt a child. It's actually been an 8-year journey for the whole thing. Wednesday they'll be going in front of this judge again, and the court system in Mozambique is corrupt upon corruption. If he doesn't sign the adoption papers this Wednesday, they will be suing the National Court of Mozambique. And they don't know what's going to happen. Pray for her on Wednesday. Keep her in your hearts. Do a sermon for somebody. You could do this. Some of you could. It's not that bad. And if you find out that you have to do it sooner, it's even better, Val. Or just plain, a way to show that God is in your heart. Give somebody a hug. Help somebody that can't walk into the church. Help somebody in a parking lot that's having trouble unloading her groceries. We teach in Onamia, and there's this little boy that has touched my life for the last couple years. If I had a hoodie, I could show you what he's like. He came to class, and he was a fifth grader, and of course, those are the kids I tend to grab to, had his hoodie down here, and I don't know how he ever saw that and didn't run into walls, because actually all you could see was his mouth when he came. He walked the halls like that. He came to our class like that. And, oh, I just got goosebumps. He, right away, and of course the teachers, oh, you don't want anything to do with him. No, you might better stay away from him. He would hide under the desks. You know, they have the folding walls that fold up to make a partition. He would crawl in between those walls because he didn't want anybody to see him. Well, we let that go a couple days, and then I sat down beside him, and I said, hey, I like you, but I can't see your face, and if you're going to come to pottery class, you can't have that hoodie on because it's going to get all messy, and then what? That day he sat there with that hoodie on, made clay all over his sleeves. The next week when we came, honestly, he dropped the hoodie at the door and came in, and I thought, I got this kid. And as we've had him for 2 or 3 years now, he is now helping us teach pottery. He still has issues, but he actually got on the B honor roll last year. And I keep up on him so that I can be sure when I see him, I can give him these little pluses. Do that. Find somebody. Find somebody in your life. Plant that little seed. You are different if you have that seed in your heart. I don't know about you, but I find this parable very interesting. The parable of the sower suggests to me that we can let go of how people respond to you. I didn't know how Wyatt was going to respond to me. I just saw him as a person that he needs somebody. He needs somebody. Jesus is telling us, just keep sowing. Throw your seeds everywhere. And then you're also going to find out that he'll be throwing seeds your way. And until you're ready, he'll keep sowing them. Until they come into your heart, and maybe even after, he'll keep throwing you those seeds. He will keep speaking to us in our prayers. He will show us the grace of God in the face of someone that you help. Or maybe just that hug from a friend. He invites us to sow his seeds into the lives of everyone we meet, wherever we go. And so I challenge you just this week. Get busy sewing. Thank you. And now I don't have my bulletin. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, no. Yeah, you make me cry. Please have the offering now, ushers.
The tune is to My Country, 'Tis of Thee, but it has some different words that you might not have heard before.
Please repeat with me the offertory prayer. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Let us good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. And the prayers of intercession. Strengthened by the Spirit who gives us words to speak and hearts that care, let us bring our hopes and needs to God who listen. We have time for your own silent prayer, please. Merciful God, you give your word to guide, correct, teach, and inspire. Draw us into your story and give us wisdom, understanding, and obedient hearts as we follow your Son, Jesus, Lord, in your mercy. The amazing cycle of birth, growth, and death sustains your creation. Bring forth an abundant harvest, keep farmers safe, and teach us to cherish life in all its forms and stages. Lord, in your mercy. In places of war, bring peace, and in places of hatred, sow love. Help world leaders set aside their prejudices, put down their weapons, and work together for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy. We live in a land of plenty, and still there are those without enough to eat. Give us generous hearts to those who are hungry. Bless the hands of those who work so that others might eat. Lord, in your mercy. Raise up leaders in your church who will tend to your harvest. We lift up seminaries and church colleges, bishops and synod staff, Lutheran World Relief, and the Lutheran World Federation, as we live out their callings to serve, Lord, in your mercy. Bless the memory of those who now worship at your eternal throne, and bless those who worship in hopeful expectations at your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, God of mercy, confident that all things are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please join me for the Lord's Prayer. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light. Thanks be to God. Closing hymn is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Praising with us. God bless.